Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Draft night continues here on 95.7 The Game of the 49ers. I talk about great timing. It's Sterling Bennett and Mark Rennie with you. The 49ers are about to make their 75th overall pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, their third selection so far this year. They've gone Mykael Williams, edge rusher, Alfred Collins, defensive tackle. And now for their third pick, let's find out. Let's go to Green Bay.
How's it going? How's it going? 25 years since I've been here. Let's go Bay Area. With the 75th pick in the 2025 draft, San Francisco 49ers select Nick Martin, Oklahoma State linebacker.
Wow, there it is. Okay, that's Julian Peterson, first of all, announcing the pick. And the pick is Nick Martin, linebacker out of Oklahoma State, 6 feet tall, 221 pounds, 4 years in college. One was a redshirt, so he's a junior, 22 years old. He'll be 23 in the season. A two-year starter, Sterling, at Oklahoma State, his most recent year, cut short due to injury, but he had himself a hell of a second season as a sophomore. 140 tackles, or one of six FBS players with more than 140 tackles in 2023. He was on pace to do something similar this year before a knee injury ended his season and cut it short. But not defensive line, not offensive line. It's a linebacker, Sterling. Nick Martin out of Oklahoma State.
I am perplexed. I really am. Not because I don't like Nicholas Martin. I think he's a really good player, at least he can be. I don't mind the injury history there. Again, you missed, you know, almost your entire season last year due to an injury. But overall, the value, the player you could have grabbed, Nicholas Martin's probably going to be there at pick 100. Now, maybe they have insight we don't know about, which is most likely in this case. I think there's better value at linebacker, Chris Paul Jr., Jeffrey Bass. I know you know him pretty well.
Yeah.
But Nicholas Martin also could be one of those players where, because he got hurt, San Francisco saw the value and said, hey, there's a guy that plays really quick, really fast. He wants the tackle. He gives you 110%, has a top-tier work ethic. The production was there pre-injury. Just reading you the discrepancy of 2024 compared to 2023. 49 tackles last year, 25 defensive run stops. Again, that's negative yards and 0 yards gained on the ground, 9 pressures, 1 forced fumble, and 1 pass deflection. Go to 2023, you already read the tackles off for us, yeah. 140, 124, whatever it was.
140.
60 defensive run stops. Like, you almost tripling your negative plays gained for your defense, 30 pressures, 6 sacks. He has that speed that you like to go from one sideline to the other, so there's a lot to like from an athletic standpoint. What San Francisco needs those guys in the rooms. However, on day one, is he better than D. Winters? Because he has shorter arms. He's not going to clog passing lanes. I think they just like the athletic upside because as a coverage player, he leaves a little bit desired. But overall, a good run defender, plays quick, good work ethic. Also a team captain in Oklahoma State. So there is a lot to like from him. But I'm not going to lie to you, Mark. This may have been, unless Martin becomes a great player, which he rightfully could, this may be their third-round running back, but instead it's a linebacker this year.
We have our first pick of the year where Sterling is not happy about it. Let me read the blurb from Dane Brugler, the Beast of the Athletic, on the newest 49er linebacker, Nick Martin, out of Oklahoma State. Built, and this is a quote, built more like a muscular safety, Martin is an easy mover with a straight line burst and true sideline to sideline range to be a run and chase backer. He's an aggressive striker, and his tackle production speaks for itself, but his average length and point of attack strength will hurt his ability to sift through NFL traffic and disengage from pro blockers. Overall, Martin doesn't have the size that most teams desire at the position, but his urgent athleticism will give him a chance to earn a role as a will linebacker. He should find regular work as a core special teamer and be the first man off the bench on defense. That is the quick summation from Dane Brugler of The Athletic on the newest Niner linebacker, Nick Martin. Wow. What is interesting, Sterling, is you mentioned leave something to be desired in terms of coverage. He is built, again, as Dane Brugler said, a little bit more like a muscular safety, and the 49ers do tend to like safety-like traits in their linebackers. Maybe not necessarily. I mean, a big part of it is the speed and the agility. Generally, they like it because they like their linebackers to be able to cover wide receivers and running backs that are and tight ends that are out there running routes. Maybe he has some of the physical tools to become that, but he hasn't quite shown the ability to cover guys yet at the collegiate level. Been more so just a tackler and a run stopper, but it does feel like he has perhaps some of the athleticism and the ability to perhaps develop that at the pro level.
Well, let's not forget that Fred Warner was also playing a little bit of safety at BYU.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing Nicholas Martin to Fred Warner, who is the best linebacker in football, but if it works out, awesome, great. You needed a linebacker. I wouldn't have minded it here. However, with the players on the board and the value, this feels like whether it was, whoever assistant coach it was like, I got to get my guy here. This is my guy here. And they said, okay, we'll do it. And it's not a head-scratching call based on the player, but it's at the pick it was, 75. And again, he'll get into camp, and he may shock us all, and we'll say, could. I love being wrong here, especially myself. But I think Nicholas Martin would have been there in round four. Again, maybe I'm wrong, and I'm okay with that. But just what you need offensive line-wise, defensive line-wise, there's better cornerbacks. Heck, I would have rather you taken a running back here.
Wow.
Caleb Johnson,
really?
DJ Giddens over Nicholas Martin. But again, they like the athletic traits, the work ethic, the speed. There's a chance it pays off, but I will tell you this. This is certainly a gamble for them at pick 75 with Nicholas Martin, linebacker out of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I'm not just saying this because of the sweatshirt that I've got on right now. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, there was just another pick that came in. The Arizona Cardinals, I'm only bringing it up because it is an NFC West team. The Arizona Cardinals go Jordan Birch, edge rusher. He can also play inside out of Oregon. Huge fan of Jordan Birch. And I don't know, Sterling, maybe it's just me. We're going to get back to the Niners in a second. But I feel like the Cardinals are having themselves a pretty darn good draft right now. They just go and get Jordan Birch. They did, in the second round, they got one of the best cornerbacks in the draft, Will Johnson out of Michigan, who fell an incredible amount because of concerns with a knee injury. What did they do in the first round? They had in the first round Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. I knew you were very frustrated, ended up with the Arizona Cardinals. Now they tack on Jordan Birch, a defensive lineman. They go three defensive players, Walter Nolan, Will Johnson, and Jordan Birch. I don't know. I mean, you agree? Pretty good draft.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. you're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So far for the Cardinals, Sterling?
The Cardinals are having the bizarro version of the San Francisco 49ers mock draft we all thought it was going to be. You know, Will Johnson, yes, was a player I figured would go to the Cardinals in the first round, but you had to think about they're trying to translate what they did in Philadelphia with Jonathan Gannon over to what they do in Arizona.
Yeah.
And you now have your Carter with Walter Nolan. You have Will Johnson, who becomes your Darius Slay. Like, they're trying to emulate what happened in Philadelphia and Arizona. And, you know, they're risky. Walter Nolan has some immaturity issues. I think could still be a great player. Will Johnson has a knee injury that he says he's healthy, but it tanked his draft stock, also has some long speed concerns. But I think if those guys hit, the Cardinals have two first round draft picks through rounds one and two.
Yeah, we'll go back to the Niners here in just a sec. The latest pick, though, this is kind of funny. The Texans just made their pick, 79th overall, getting towards the middle of the third round. They go another Iowa State wide receiver. Their pick in the second round was Jaden Higgins,
awesome,
out of Iowa State, a wide receiver. Now they get Jalen Noel, a wide receiver out of Iowa State.
That's
so a couple of Iowa State wide receivers for the Houston Texans here today. They also had a pick of an offensive lineman in the second round as well. Ariante Ursary. Ariante Ursary?
Oh,
is that correct?
You got it.
I got it.
Ariante Ursary, you got it.
There we go. Out of Minnesota. So those are the three picks for the Houston Texans so far today, including two highly drafted Iowa State wide receivers. Okay, so the 49ers, their third pick overall, second today, is Nick Martin, linebacker out of Oklahoma State. Their three picks now, all told, are Mykael Williams, edge rusher, defensive end out of Georgia, Alfred Collins, defensive tackle out of Texas, and now Nick Martin, a linebacker out of Oklahoma State. This is the first that is at least somewhat surprising, and it's probably surprising on two fronts, Sterling. One, it's the position. Not that linebacker was not a spot of need, because of course it was, but there are other spots where you felt like were probably more of a position of need. But it's also a bit surprising, because if you would have told me they were taking a linebacker, I think most of us would have expected Chris Paul Jr., nicknamed Pooh, who I know you had been talking about often, and just before this pick was announced, you were thinking maybe it was Chris Paul Jr. The tweet by CEO Jed York about heavy hitters made you think immediately about Chris Paul Jr., linebacker out of Ole Miss. So it's a little surprising, Sterling, because one, it was a linebacker, and two, the linebacker was not Chris Paul Jr.
What's funny, too, because both Chris Paul Jr. and Nicholas Martin lack the length you like to clog the passing lanes, to bat down passes over the middle. So there is some similarities there, but you're talking about an injury concern maybe with Nicholas Martin, who's probably healthy now. You're talking about a player that Chris Paul Jr. had a 7.6 missed tackle rate. Pretty good as a linebacker at the NFL level, which I think one of the most underrated things San Francisco needs to get better at is just tackling the opposing team.
Yeah, yeah.
They miss so many tackles, and having a player like Chris Paul Jr., which having short arms doesn't help your ability to tackle, but a 7.6% missed tackle rate's a pretty good rate at the collegiate level. And Chris Paul is really good in coverage, so I think San Francisco's banking on Nicholas Martin's kind of hybrid safety build to be what carries him into being a good coverage player, or they think D. Winters can be that for them instead, and they value D. Winters as the number two linebacker on that defense, which then flips things back around and says, then why are you taking the linebacker that may not even start for you on day one at pick 75? That's the confusing part. Even Dane Brugler said, he's probably not going to start for you. The first guy off the bench was the exact quote, that guy goes at 75. Again, he could be good. He could be awesome. But it's a pick that's going to have to take some time. And I'd rather have a guy that can plug in day one. Dylan Fairchild just goes to the Bengals here. He can run the wide zone system. You have to have a left guard. Why wasn't he the pick for those that wanted an offensive lineman? So this is one of those of their first three picks that has to be justified to me in a certain way. But again, maybe things come to fruition and pan out for him. But on the board, I'd rather have Dylan Fairchild than Nicholas Martin currently, who goes about six picks later.
Yeah, Dylan Fairchild, guard out of Georgia, just got picked by the Cincinnati Bengals. He's the pick at 81 overall. The 49ers picked Nick Martin, linebacker out of Oklahoma State, 75th overall. For what it's worth, and everybody has different grades, for all we know, the 49ers might have had a first-round grade on Nick Martin. Probably not, but like it, who the hell knows? And there's a lot of variation in how a number of different people in the media rate and rank these prospects, including you, who I know do very extensive research on this, Sterling. I go off of, not that I trust every word that he says, just a very informational piece of work, The Beast by Dane Brugler on The Athletic. Just one man's opinion, Sterling. Dane Brugler has a fifth-round grade on Nick Martin. Now, being involved in the Niners draft process, or at least having covered it for a while now, you and I both know, Sterling, the Niners do not care what other people think. The Niners have this guy much higher rated than almost anybody else, would be my guess. Where I get a little bit frustrated isn't necessarily like I don't trust that he's a quality player. I just feel pretty darn confident that he probably would have been available to you 30 picks later, 25 picks later at 100 overall. And you could have used this opportunity to get somebody else of value. Even if you felt like you wanted Nick Martin over the guy that you pick instead of him. Maybe it's not worth the risk if you're so in love with this guy. And if you're so in love with him, then you know what? I'll give you a pass. But you better be right, because you had potentially missed the opportunity to still get this guy and double up on somebody else who maybe you don't absolutely love, but that you feel really confident you would love at 100 and isn't going to be there at 100 most likely.
And that's the frustrating part, because a lot of the NFL draft is, okay, you got a guy, but who's still on the board?
Yeah.
And it comes about value and positional value. You know, there's a reason why we talked about Shedeur Sanders. This quarterback class is not good, and you want guys and will take risks on guys that have the higher upside. There's a reason why you're watching him fall. There's a reason as to why Dane Brugler, and I'm sure a lot more pundits out there and scouts, had Nicholas Martin lower. It just seems like San Francisco likes to zig when other teams zag. They do things their own way. But I guarantee you this, Mark, somebody in that building had to have loved Nicholas Martin. Now, in one case, that's a really good thing that they, you know, went on their soapbox and said, hey, Kyle, hey, John, hey, Robert Saleh, I want that guy in the room. But the other stance could be that scout could get fired tomorrow if things don't go well for Nicholas Martin. It's a risk. I think you can put it in the reach category for sure. I'd rather have Jacob Parrish, DJ Giddens, Caleb Johnson, a lot more players, Dylan Fairchild. But it all comes down to who they like. And maybe they make up for it at pick 100 and we all say whatever when it's all said and done. But I just think you got to hit on picks, and this is a reach for them at pick 75. And it's one that you may look back, like Trey Sermon, like Ty Davis Price, and you say, what were they thinking? But also, he could pan out, and we all say, whoever was thinking that was doing a really good job out there. Man, what a great job by the Niners. But it's a risk. It's a really big risk. I hope it works out. But with the board as it stands, Niner fans can start to get a little, you nailed the first two, but number three, has you feeling, why do they always do this in the third round every year? I'm getting shades of those third round running backs again with the Nicholas Martin pick.
It's funny because I threw out the Niners have had success in the third round. They had recent success and then success a long time ago. They picked Dominic Pooney in the third round last year. Absolute home run of a pick in the third round. He started all 17 games. He was amazing as a rookie. He did better than any of us could have expected. And frankly, for me, Sterling, he right guard, because it's Dominic Pooney, that's the only position I don't feel like the Niners have to address on the offensive line this offseason. I know full well that they're not going to address all four of the other positions. They might only address one or two. We will see what the rest of the draft holds. But successful third-round pick last year. Then you got to go all the way back to 2018, the last time you felt like they had a real success in the third round, because that was when they drafted Fred Warner out of BYU. And at that point, didn't really know a lot about Fred Warner. You mentioned he played some safety at BYU, and now he's turned in to All-Pro Fred and arguably the best linebacker in the NFL. But since Fred Warner and before Dominic Pooney last year, you have Jalen Hurd in 2019. Never played a regular season game for you or for anybody else in the NFL.
Preseason warrior.
I mean, he was the preseason MVP. My God, that dude would catch like four touchdowns a game in the preseason, it would feel like.
Didn't Peter King call him the potential rookie of the year because he was so good in the preseason?
He might have.
I love you, but what were you watching out there?
Yeah, so Jalen Hurd in 2019. They did not have a third-round pick in 2020. In 2021, one of those third-round running backs you're talking about, Trey Sermon, they also picked Ambry Thomas. Ambry Thomas had a nice moment, at least, with the 49ers. Had an interception in a really important game against the Rams to get the Niners to the postseason. But other than that,
Then
got burned in that playoff game, yes. But Trey Sermon and Ambry Thomas in the third round of 2021. Overall, those are, you know, one major, major thumb down for Trey Sermon, and then, you know, another thumb down for Ambry Thomas. In the third round in 2022, Ty Davis-Price, a running back, and Danny Gray, a wide receiver. Both of those, major thumbs down. Absolutely did nothing for you in the regular season. Third round 2 years ago, 2023. This might be the worst of them all, considering, and it's pretty amazing, considering what some of the others have been. Jake Moody, a kicker, and Cameron Latu, a tight end. Cameron Latu has not seen the field in a regular season game yet. He's been a pro for 2 years, and Jake Moody has been so bad through 2 years that most Niner fans want a replacement kicker. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen this offseason either. And then we get into last year's draft with Dominic Pooney. So it's really kind of just been boom or bust. Either you make an amazing pick, Sterling, in the third round, or the third round literally could not have gone any worse.
Yeah, it's... You know, the Niners always do this, and you want to hold judgment because none of these players are finished products. You're all projecting, you're all trying to figure out what they can be in 2 to 3 years' time, but when you are the San Francisco 49ers, and seemingly you view this as a retooling year, which maybe this is one of their retooling picks, then okay, you can get behind that if it works out for you, but in that third round, it seems to be a blind spot for them, and you're hoping it's not the case. Obviously, Fred Warner, a third-round pick, we already covered him plenty of times, but you just watched Caleb Johnson go, running back. You just watched Jacob Parrish go to the Buccaneers. It's like, hey, there were better picks on that board at the time, at least on day one, where does San Francisco really want to win now, or is this a stash pick for a year? Which I don't think many fans can get behind the idea of stashing a player for a year when you have an older Trent Williams, Brock Purdy you're going to pay big money to, you're going to redo George Kittle's deal, you have an aging Fred Warner who's still playing great football, but he's inching closer to 30 years old. The time to win is now, and you want to reopen that window. Nicholas Martin in year one probably doesn't do enough to open the window up for you at all. So, again, it's a perplexing pick. It may work out in the future, but day one, it's really hard to see the vision they're going for with the Nicholas Martin pick at 75 overall.
What I will say, as we just zoom out a little bit here, three picks in, Mykael Williams, edge rusher out of Georgia, Alfred Collins, defensive tackle, big body, you throw in the middle of your defensive line, D-tackle out of Texas, and now Nick Martin, linebacker out of Oklahoma State. Three picks in, we can have our qualms with Nick Martin, and we have had him for over 20 minutes now, and I think everything that we've said is fair. Three picks in, though, Sterling, the overall, like as we zoom out and look at the draft as a whole so far, and they still have eight picks to make currently scheduled. They're going to make, I would expect, one more tonight. They have the 100th pick in the NFL draft, a special compensatory pick tacked on to the very end of this third round. We'll see if they end up making that pick. If they trade up, trade out, we shall see. They are scheduled to make one more pick. But through three picks, Sterling, as we just look at the overall theme of the draft, I am not upset at all that the three picks are all on the defense. I am not upset at that. I would not have minded the first two picks being defenders, as we saw with Mykel Williams and Alfred Collins on the D-line, and then you go offensive line here in the third round. But considering that the Niners' strength has always, when they've been successful, their strength has always been the defense. They have always been a team that relies on their defense. They've always been the team where you feel like, all right, back's against the wall. Would you rather have a one-possession lead and your defense on the field, or one-possession deficit and your offense on the field? They have always felt like when they've been their best, you'd rather have your defense on the field. I do not mind that we see this 49er team getting back to that, because there's no doubt the defense last year was, in my mind, reason number one why they did not even make the postseason, won just six games, lost 11, and had one of the more disappointing seasons in recent memory coming off of a Super Bowl appearance. So we can be upset about the player, and maybe there was better value, maybe you could have gotten him later, but the overall process, Sterling, the overall thought, I definitely do not mind three defensive players, the first three picks for the Niners. Defensive tackle out of Texas, and then just about a half hour ago, he announced the 49ers' first pick in the third round tonight, Nick Martin, linebacker out of Oklahoma State. The general consensus, as we welcome you back to draft night here on 95.7 The Game, it's day two of the NFL draft. Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. The general consensus is a bit of a reach. But this is new, or not new, for the 49ers, Sterling. We thought the same exact thing when the Niners went with Ricky Pearsall near the very end of the first round last year, just about a year ago exactly. And while, of course, he had a wild rookie year, and due to nothing that he did wrong, off-the-field stuff, of course, got shot in an entirely just random experience here in San Francisco. Recovered pretty darn quickly, got on the field and had some moments, flashed here and there, then was really good towards the tail end of the season. Looked like he proved why the Niners picked him in the first round. But when he was picked, Sterling, you and I were sitting here in the studio and we were thinking, what the hell are they doing? They could have maybe gotten him in the second round. There are other spots that they need players in more than wide receiver. Why did they do this? But we feel a lot better about Ricky Pearsall now after what happened in the wide receiver room around him and what we saw him do. So I get the thought about Nick Martin. Seems like a reach. You could have gotten him later, whatever. All it was going to take, Sterling, is Nick Martin, not necessarily like in training camp, although that will begin to assuage maybe some fears, but he comes out and performs as a rookie. No one is ever going to remember how they felt on draft day when it looked like, oh, that was a reach. Now it just comes down to, are the Niners right or are the Niners wrong? Because you can be wrong on a pick. It happens all the time. It's going to happen to at least a couple of the Niners picks in this draft. It's just the way that the NFL draft works. Right. But when you do make a pick like this, where the general consensus is you could have gotten him a lot later, the pressure to get that one right just kind of ratchets up a little bit more. It's very similar to, you better get a kicker right when you pick him in the third round, when you trade up to pick him in the third round. And I threw Jake Moody under the bus a little bit last segment in the 510 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, wants to make sure I give him his due credit. The 510 saying Jake Moody was not bad for 2 years. He was bad last year after an injury and was better in 2023. Okay, maybe that's somewhat fair. The reality is probably somewhere in the middle.
Semantics.
He wasn't very good last year, and I don't know. Considering where he was drafted, you would hope he would be a whole lot better. The Niners are inviting a little bit of pressure with this pick, Sterling, but all it is going to take for all of us to forget about this and never think about him being a reach again is he just comes out and plays good football.
And I think it's smart to classify what a reach means, right? A reach usually is based on the consensus boards, where most scouts have them, where most teams have them, which we are not privy to what teams' draft boards look like, yeah. Nor should we really be. But when it seems like most scouts in the country, most pundits, most media members have a guy on day three, a UDFA or whatever, and you take him on round three, it does raise some red flags. Now, I'm sure had Nicholas Martin played most of the season, you probably would have saw a better player. This wouldn't be that big of a question, but again, this is one of those picks where, you're right, Mark, they're inviting criticism of maybe you could have gotten this guy later, and it's very different to me from the Pearsall pick, because you like the talent of Pearsall. You saw the vision of Pearsall.
Yeah.
He can play inside, he can play outside, he can separate really well. You trade Debo away, and you have Ayuk, and you have Pearsall, and you feel pretty good about yourself. And I would like to think that had Brandon Ayuk not gotten hurt, and you walk into a season with a healthy Ayuk and a healthy Pearsall, you feel pretty good about your wide receiver room with Juwan Jennings and Marcus Robinson. But we also saw in last year's draft, Ladd McConkey goes immediately after.
Yeah.
Xavier Leggett goes immediately after. We may not see a linebacker taken in the next round and a half. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. That's different. That's weird. So you can justify Pearsall's pick in that way. But if most fans don't see a linebacker taken in the next 10 picks, you're going to start to question yourself, okay, had you picked the guy at 100, would it have been that big of a difference? And could you have netted that top running back or a top cornerback or a top tackle for you to help your offensive line? Again, it's all about preferences and what each person and player and scout wants. But again, does it make you feel better knowing that somebody in that room really loved Nicholas Martin? Because somebody obviously did. And if it's Robert Saleh, a lot of fans trust him to find the right players. And who am I to question that of Bobby Saleh out there in San Francisco, all jacked up? He's going to scare me to death on the sideline again this year. So it could be a great pick, but there's a lot of doubt in my mind at pick 75.
Yeah, we're currently sitting at the Rams on the clock at pick 90 overall right now.
Sanders.
Could you imagine?
Shador Sanders.
I mean, he's still not not been picked. He's still out there sitting in wherever the hell he's sitting with all those cameras on. They haven't really cut away to him on the broadcast much yet today after they did that.
They
really
did it like 90 times last night. You can't do it again today.
They did it for every single pick, just about. They would flash the Shador Sanders at some point. We haven't seen a lot of him yet. There's only been, what, one quarterback today? It's just been Tyler Shuck early in the second round. He went to the New Orleans Saints kind of as a surprising pick. Third quarterback off the board after two quarterbacks in the first round yesterday. Just those three quarterbacks. That maybe is one of my biggest surprises of the draft so far, Sterling, and we'll get back to the 49ers specifically in a second. I know I mentioned this to you and Evans yesterday. One of my bigger surprises is simply we just do not have these teams that are drafting quarterbacks for the hell of it because they don't like their current quarterback and they're just going to take a shot on the dark on whoever the hell is ranked as the fourth, fifth, sixth best quarterback, because why the hell not do that in the third round? Maybe it is just because this is a pretty rough quarterback class, and I would imagine that has a lot to do with it. But I also think, much like I think we're going to get to a point where the quarterback market in terms of contracts, that bubble bursts. I think we're going to see that market kind of shift in a couple of years. Maybe we're getting to the point where these quarterback hungry teams are just saying, you know what, we're going to tough it out with whoever the hell we got, because I have no faith that this quarterback that I'm going to draft after five already went in the first round, that I'm going to get a good guy in this pick. And I'm not going to waste a second or a third round pick in a guy I don't really believe in just because I don't have a good quarterback. Like, you're just almost admitting defeat, and you're giving up the opportunity to draft a really good player at a different spot. Like, the number of times that a second round, third round quarterback of late succeeds compared to a second or third round pick at any other position, I'd have to dive into those numbers. I would imagine the success rate on second or third round quarterbacks is much, much lower than almost every other position in the second or the third round.
How much of this quarterback draft we've seen, where it's only been three quarterbacks so far, two in the first round, and then Tyler Shuck today, do you think any of this has to do with, one, Brock Purdy's success, but also that contract he gets, where a lot of these teams may say, look, if Brock Purdy's getting $53, $55 million, we'll take that guy in round four or five, not round one. We'll wait and sit back because we don't want to pay a Brock Purdy that much money. Now, I think Brock Purdy's an excellent quarterback, deserves to get paid whatever it is he does get paid this offseason. But do you think any of this has to do with Brock Purdy's contract situation and his success as the last pick in the NFL draft a couple years ago?
I don't know about that. I think maybe there are teams that are more willing, and I think this has always been smart business. Not that you ever expect like you're going to hit the bullseye in the sixth or the seventh round on a quarterback that turns out to be, you know, Tom Brady or even just Brock Purdy, which is still amazing, amazing return on the investment of the seventh round and the very last pick of the draft. Like, you could not get better value than that. So I'm not trying to disrespect Brock Purdy at all, but of course not nearly on the level of Tom Brady. I don't know if that necessarily discourages teams from drafting quarterbacks maybe in the second or the third round. I think maybe it encourages just taking flyers late in the draft, like in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round. I think if this was a normal quarterback draft, we probably would see the normal amount. But I mean, honestly, you don't normally you see four quarterbacks in the first round, and maybe you get one or two in the second, but like this just was an extremely weak quarterback class. So maybe I'm making too much of this as maybe it's not really that surprising, and more so it's just because of the talent of this quarterback class. But I'm just glad to see that there aren't teams out there that are just so absolutely quarterback hungry that they get to a spot where they're up in the second or the third round, and they decide to take someone like Will Howard. Like, okay, Will Howard, yeah, won a national championship with Ohio State, but do any of us believe he's going to be a day one starter in the NFL? No, of course not. Oh, we're going to draft Riley Leonard. He can really use his legs, right? He went to the national championship game. I'm not going to, this pains me to say, I'm going to draft a Dylan Gabriel in the third round because he had so much success at three different schools.
He's a gamer, baby.
He is a gamer, and I love me some Dylan Gabriel in college. I don't think he's going to be a very good pro, but I'm just happy for teams that they're showing at least enough self-awareness to not just take a shot in the dark at quarterback because they are currently very upset with their QB situation, and they're just like, you know what? All right, let's do a third round. Take this guy who's probably not going to play a snap for us in his career, and let's just hope and pray that he turns into Brock Purdy. That just seems like really bad business to me.
See, I think if you're a Niner fan, though, you want teams to do that so you can get better players to fall to you.
I'm with you. You want everyone else to be stupid. Yes.
Right. Right. So it is a little painful knowing that teams aren't being as stupid this year as previous seasons. So that does kind of come back to bite you. But I do think you're right that the NFL is kind of getting smarter to what maybe a quarterback's value may be. And also, there weren't many teams walking into this year that truly needed quarterbacks. And the Saints are probably eyeing next year's draft or in 2 years, maybe. Maybe that's the Archie Manning pick from Texas. In a couple of years, Drew Allard's probably coming out next year from Penn State. Yeah. There's plenty of more talent coming out next year. So the Giants got their guy, but they could be on a 2-year window. And you know, the Browns could still take Shador Sanders here at pick 94. And that's pretty good value for a player that you need a quarterback. You got Kenny Pickett. You got Joe Flacco. You got Deshaun Watson that no one likes anymore. You can get Shador Sanders as your quarterback too. To learn behind Joe Flacco, it's not a bad move. So I do wonder if he goes soon, but it would be, I don't know if it'd be like a pie in the face or a clown show if Shador Sanders, who was projected to be a first-round pick by many teams or many pundits, which, funny enough, a quarterback goes to Seattle right here, not named Shador Sanders, in Jalen Milroe from Alabama.
Wow.
Like, Shador is the fifth quarterback off the board.
At best.
He could be the sixth. Like, what's going on? Day two made the most sense for him. Maybe he still goes here, but I'm shocked. And honestly, good. I'm happy for the Seattle Seahawks to get a quarterback that is a big project. That's a big project player right there. So thank you so much, Seattle. Great runner, but he's going to have to sit almost the entirety of Sam Darnold's contract. So thank you, Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, so if you missed that, Jalen Milroe, Alabama quarterback, has just been taken by the Seattle Seahawks, 92nd overall pick. We're getting towards the end of the third round. We get the supplemental picks coming up at the very end of this round. 49ers are picking 100th overall. Right now on the clock are the New Orleans Saints at 93rd overall. So we are inching closer to the 49ers making their fourth selection here in the 2025 NFL Draft. They had a pick in the first, Mykael Williams, a pick in the second, Alfred Collins, Nick Martin, linebacker, earlier here in the third, and then whoever's coming up at 100 overall. But Jalen Milroe is the pick for the Seattle Seahawks quarterback out of Alabama. A couple of other picks right before this, as we keep an eye on what's going on around the NFC West. The LA Rams, they went with Josiah Stewart, an edge rusher out of Michigan. What else of import? We mentioned Jordan Birch to Arizona, the defensive lineman from Oregon to the Cardinals. Cardinals having a really, really good draft. Interesting draft pick there by the Seattle Seahawks. Again, with Jalen Milroe, the quarterback out of Alabama. He's QB4 off the board, and we're still awaiting Shedeur Sanders at this stage, and we are getting very near the end of the first round, or of the third round. Okay, Sterling, we are nearing the Niners pick. They have the 100th overall selection. We are currently sitting on the Saints. They're on the clock at 93 overall. This is probably going to be a very similar conversation to the one we had about an hour ago when the Niners were last on the clock. What is on the table for the 49ers here? Because the guy that we perhaps wanted them to pick on the offensive line is still a possibility out there. You take a look at the guy from William & Mary, Charles Grant. He is still out there to be had. Odds that he lasts all the way to 100, maybe the Niners take him there. Offensive tackle, offensive lineman, defensive line. I would imagine they're not going to go linebacker again. Maybe they go running back. Maybe they go tight end. Who the hell knows? What do you think is on the table? What are the Niners considering here as they are approaching territory for the 100th overall pick?
Well, if you want to go back to the defense, I think David Walker from Central Arkansas, the edge rusher, go get that pass rusher, pair him with Mykael Williams. It's a good value here at pick 100 if he's still there. If you want to go to the offensive line, again, Charles Grant is still there. Marcus Bowe, who can play guard, tackle, and center. He has that Shanahan build. He's athletic, quick first step, good burst. There is some anchor issues with him, some weight issues, so can help you on day one, but probably isn't going to be a starter on day one. And there's Miles Frazier from LSU. He fits the scheme with the wide zone. He does fit that Kyle Shanahan guard that he likes, so that's kind of your top three offensive linemen. I'm not somebody that believes they want to get a center in this year's draft. I know that pains you, Mark, to not replace Jake Brendel.
Jared Wilson of Georgia is sitting there, Sterling.
I just, Kyle and rookie centers just don't go together. that is the anti-peanut butter and jelly for him.
Well, if you don't want a rookie center, it means you're going to have to sign a center in free agency, and they also don't want to do that, at least not a good one. So I don't know how else are you going to get your hand on a good center if you don't want to draft one?
Oh, two words. Matt Hennessy, baby. Two-year contract last year. He'll be there. But, I mean, man, the picks on the board are interesting because you're getting towards, you know, the day three picks, you know, coming up in the next few picks or so, and there are some guys that bleed over, but do you want to get the best last pass rusher as an edge? I would. Do you want to get the best last pass rushing defensive tackle? I would. You don't pick until 113, I believe, so there isn't that much space in between your next picks, but I'd go David Walker, go back to the defense, and hope at pick 113 you can get one of those guards, Marcus Bowe, Charles Grant, who can also be a tackle, or even Miles Frazier. Or maybe make a trade up. Get a deal done on day three, but I think one of those players should be certainly in the works for San Francisco here at pick 100.
We're approaching the Niners on the clock. The Saints at pick 93 just went with a safety, Jonas Sanker out of Virginia, so that's the pick at 93 overall. Currently on the clock now, the Cleveland Browns at 94 overall. The 49ers next on the clock at 100 overall, so we are approaching the Niners' fourth pick in this 2025 NFL Draft. Do you want some good news, Sterling, that is entirely unrelated to the NFL draft?
I think I may know what it is, but of course
I
want some good news, Mark.
I will give it to you anyway. This comes courtesy of Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Tight end George Kittle was back in the building today for offseason conditioning as the two sides continued to discuss a contract extension. Of course, there was some drama earlier in the week when he was not in attendance, and there was a report from Diana Rossini of The Athletic saying that his absence was contract-related. And then George Kittle responded to her on Twitter and said, your sources are wrong. Someone asked him, who are your sources, George? And George responded saying, me, because I'm George freaking Kittle. But good news, I guess. I don't know how many of us were actually that concerned about this. I guess considering the way contract negotiations have gone for the 49ers of late, maybe it was right to be concerned. No agreement has been reached as of this second yet, Sterling, and I would imagine it's not something the Niners are going to be actively doing while the NFL draft is going on, but good to see at least.
Yeah,
in between picks. Don't be doing that, Niners. You need all the help you can get on the draft. But good to see at least that George Kittle is back in the facility at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, look, I never bought into the Kittle, oh, he's not here for pre-draft voluntary workouts. I watched WrestleMania. He was in the front row for 2 days.
Yeah.
I was like, George never comes to the voluntary workouts pre-draft. So I wasn't shocked by it. Quite frankly, when I saw it, I was like, this is a story? We care about this? I know it was because Brock was there and Fred was there, but Kittle wasn't.
Well,
but,
I mean, considering the last couple of years, the Niner fans, and I don't blame them, they are just, they're really scared about, you know, holdouts and about it hijacking an offseason. Not that you expect that from George Kittle, but, I mean, it has what, it has, that has happened in consecutive offseasons now, and now you're staring at it with Brock Purdy, potentially. You don't want it to happen with George Kittle.
When George Kittle starts going on the Pivot podcast with a different quarterback saying, I want to play with that guy and I'll play for that team, we can have that deeper conversation. But George Kittle deserves to be in the Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Joe Staley contingent of lifelong 49ers. Gore didn't get to do that, unfortunately, but George Kittle is a 49er forever, red and gold. He's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. And if he's not a San Francisco 49er, it's a shame on whoever didn't get that deal done. He belongs here in San Francisco. He screams red and gold. He's a tone setter. And I don't care he's 31 years old. Sign him to a 3-year deal. Sign him to a 4-year deal. I don't care if he's 40 years old.
Whoa.
If he's getting 1,000-yard seasons and 10-plus touchdowns, you can play as long as you want in San Francisco, George. You can take my paycheck if you want. I want to see you on Sunday, Mondays, and Thursdays, brother. And hopefully one day, holding that Lombardi trophy, wearing the red and gold one day.
Yeah, he deserves it. He deserves it. There's no doubt. Okay, time for a break here on draft night on the game. The Browns are currently on the clock, 94th overall. We're getting towards the very tail end of the third round of the NFL draft. 96 is the end of the normal third round, and then picks beyond that are supplementary. The Vikings, Miami, although traded to the Raiders. So Vikings, Raiders, Giants, Niners, then Rams and Lions to wrap up the third round. We will tell you who the Niners pick next segment. Oh, they might make a trade, but we'll tell you what the Niners do next segment. We shall see. And we'll tell you, of course, anything else that happens of importance around this NFL draft. Plenty more to get into. It's draft night on the game. Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. More next here on 95.7 The Game.